online。
I'm waiting for my music. There's no music. Anyway, hello, good afternoon, everybody. This is Pastor Mike, and I'm online, and I'm live with you today. Good to be with you today. I've had a lot going on in my mind. Considering what's going on in our country as of this date. Now, I want to just briefly touch on the thing that I talked about last week concerning the rumors that were going around on the internet and what were some of the possible scenarios that could have happened between last week and, let's just say, tomorrow at noon. What are some of those possible scenarios? Now, understand this. I read a lot of things on the internet, as do you. And I have, over the years that I've been doing the Watchman broadcast, Pastor Mike Online, preaching and teaching on prophecy-related things, sharing with you things that we see on the internet. I mentioned in this week's Watchman broadcast that we are celebrating, not in some big way, I just mentioned it. It's really up. That's the limit of the celebration. I'll just go, yay. That I've been doing the Watchman video broadcast for 12 years. Now, and I don't know if that original Watchman broadcast is still online anywhere. I'm not sure I'd know where to find it. But it was at a time when, if you remember, Henry Kissinger had just gone out on the floor of the New York Exchange, the stock market exchange, and they were talking about the housing market. The bubble had burst. They realized that they had given out too many loans to too many people who could not pay the loans to begin with. But because they were ordered by Congress to give out high-risk loans to people who normally would not qualify, somebody wanting to buy a house worth about $250,000, but normally they wouldn't qualify for it. In other words, they don't have the income for it. But originally, they were being offered these adjustable rate mortgages. Now, to me, an adjustable rate mortgage does not compute with me. I have never bought anything on an adjustable rate, which means that when you sign the paper, they may be saying, oh, your mortgage rate, the rate of interest is only going to be like 1%. But by this time next year or 5 years from now, that could jump to as much as 15%. And then your payment changes. And what happened was, Congress, the liberals in Congress, were pressuring all these people, making a long story here, and I don't mean to, but we're pressuring all these people, all these banks, to start giving out loans, starting out with extremely low interest rates. And then all of a sudden, the housing market crashed because people were doing, they were breaking the 10th commandment. And it's the very first thing that God said concerning the 10th commandment. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. You had all these people saying, well, don't I deserve the American dream? Shouldn't I have the American dream? to own a nice house? Yeah, if you could afford it. So they were signing these people up with an adjustable rate mortgage, starting out with a very low interest rate. And then all of a sudden, now the rate increases, and it's legal because that's how they sign the mortgage, is that you understand this rate could increase or decrease. And then they had to make this balloon payment, and they couldn't do it. They couldn't afford the payment. They couldn't afford the balloon payment. So now they're stuck with a house that they can't pay for. And then they were getting angry that the banks were repossessing the houses. They're like, they're stealing our house. And they're doing it because we're minorities and because we're this or we're that. And that's our American dream. And you didn't pay the bill. If you didn't pay the bill, you can't keep the house. That's all there is to it. And so that was going on. And then you had Henry Kissinger coming out, New York Stock Exchange, saying, we hope that we can use this to bring in what we've been referring to over the years, a new world order. And I'm going, boy, this broadcast ought to be easy to do. Because, I mean, the very first one I did, Kissinger comes out and says, maybe we'll start the new world order now. Okay? I think the new term for that is no longer the Novus Ordo Seclorum, the new world order. I think the new term for that now is Great Reset. Okay? And that's probably coming. Now, did it start the new world order? Just because Kissinger say it, did that initiate the new world order? No. I mean, that was in 2009. So that was 12 years ago, and we're still not in the full-fledged, you know, New World Order. We're not there yet. And I don't think we're even really that close to it. We might be barely closer now than we were in 2009, but we're certainly not there yet. New World Order pertaining to the rise and the reign of the Antichrist and his kingdom. That's the New World Order. And so if I would have said anything in 2009, something like, people, the New World Order now, I think he's like giving coded messages out, and I think it's going to be like 70 days from now that the New World Order is going to start, which means they're going to start rounding all the Christians up, and we're going to have to get in the FEMA trucks and go to the FEMA camps, and there's the red list and the blue list and the green list and all of this stuff, and I think people are going to start. By the way, they've already ordered all the guillotines, and I've seen them on train cars. And now, had I said that back then, I would have been wrong in saying anything like that, because it obviously hasn't happened. So I was trying to be careful and cautious in the language that I used last week, simply because did I really know that Trump was going to start initiating some executive orders that he had signed? Was he in fact going to start arresting Mike Pence, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Joe Biden? Was he going to start arresting these people, having them taken down to Guantanamo Bay? Was he going to initiate his executive powers, declare the election a fraud, either accept new electoral votes or have a new election done? Because as of now, he's got less than 24 hours if he's going to do this. He's got less than 24 hours. He will be officially, as of noon Eastern Standard Time tomorrow, he will be out of power. He will no longer have the executive authority as the chief executive of the United States of America to run the country and to execute the laws. He will no longer have that power. And so I'm still seeing videos out today that are saying, don't worry, Trump is still going to be in for 4 years. It's a guaranteed going to happen because we've got insiders telling us what Trump is doing. Trump is doing this and he is over here and he's on all of these things. And they've been promoting them as this is the absolute truth. And did you hear this on CNN? No, that's how you know it's true. If you don't hear it on the news, it's got to be true. And people, my point has been, for this past, 12 years, I guess, but I've been really pushing this, especially the last five, I'm going to say the last 5 years, maybe. I've been lied to numerous times. Blatantly, bold-faced, lied to by fake news. And fake news doesn't just exist on CNN. It doesn't just exist on Fox News. It's not just at MSNBC, NBC, CBS, ABC. It's not just the mainstream media that lies about what's going to happen. They did. You remember how it was being reported last week that armed protests were going to take place in capitals all across the country? Not a one. Not a shot fired over the weekend. Not one. Now they're telling everybody that they're worried about tomorrow's inauguration. And will there be shots fired? And will there, you know, they're hoping it does. They're saying it's going to happen. I don't believe it. Now, and I've made this point before. Even things that I want to happen, that I want to believe in, they were lies. They were outright lies. Told by people who wanted you to be convinced that they were an insider or they had links to an insider and they had heard it from reliable inside information. Even though they won't name the source, they won't tell you where they got it from, they won't show you a document, they won't show you something signed by the president, they have no evidence. But we like to believe that that's what's really going to happen because it's what we want to happen. And we can believe lies. We're not immune from it. We can believe lies just like everybody else can. And there are some things that I've talked about in the last 8 months, a year, that right now I'm not saying a word about. Not a word. Because so many lies are being told both on left-wing news sites and extreme right-wing news sites. So many rumors are being tossed around. So many lies are being told, whether they're doing it deliberately. Have you not heard the phrase agent provocateur? Are there agents who stir up Antifa? Yeah. And see, you don't have a problem believing that. But if I were to say, are there agents who provoke the right wing? Yes. The answer is absolutely yes. But we don't like to believe that. And we don't want to think that the websites that we went to are part of that. So I have always tried to encourage you and plead with you, beg you, stop spending so much time with fake news, fake stories, insider information. I got people coming to me all the time. Mike, did you see this video? It's Bill Gates, and he's front of the CIA, and he's talking about how they're going to send a virus out that's going to change everybody's religion. Number one, I've seen that video. I've watched it thoroughly. And it's not Bill Gates. It's not Bill Gates. It's another guy who's making a presentation to the Pentagon, we believe. And I've listened to some of the guys in the audience, there wasn't very many, who were asking the guy making this speech, he's making a presentation because he wants the Pentagon to fund a theory that he has. His theory is he thinks he can alter people's DNA so that they'll forget their religion, basically. They won't be fanatics anymore. And of course, when that story came out, I remember reporting on this story years ago. When that story came out, people started losing their bowels. Oh no. They're spraying stuff right now. They're spraying stuff over us right now, and I guarantee you the stuff that's in it is going to change our DNA so we forget about God. And people, which is true? Which do you really believe the most? The video that you watched, or do you believe God's word? Because if you believe God's word, you will know beyond any shadow of any doubt, you will have it confirmed in your heart that nothing can change your mind and your heart about Jesus Christ except you. Nothing can. All of the power of the enemy. So let's say it was Bill Gates. Let's say that he was presenting a presentation to the CIA, which I don't think it was the CIA, I'm pretty sure it was the Pentagon. And I was saying the guys who were in the audience were giving these guys questions, and what they were asking gave you the impression they weren't buying it. They didn't think very highly of the program. But let's say it got fully funded, and now it's in its full implementation. That either they're spraying it in the air, or they've put it in all the Starbucks coffee cups, or they've embedded it as part of the COVID virus, or they've snuck it into the COVID vaccine, and now all of these people who get either the virus or the vaccine or both or none or whatever, they're all going to start saying, I don't believe in God anymore. I don't believe in God anymore. I don't believe in God anymore. There is no God. Can that happen to you? As a born again, saved by the blood, child of God, who swore that he would protect you, do you think it's possible that Bill Gates can change your DNA to get you to not believe in God anymore? And see, if you would believe the Bible, you would just laugh at that and say, Uh-uh. God said it wouldn't happen. So I'm not going to worry about it. In spite of the things that I've tried to teach you about God's word, about God's covenant with you, a promise that he swore using his son's own blood to confirm the covenant that he would never leave you nor forsake you, nor let anything like that harm you. You still get all freaked out over the fact that they're going to secretly slip in the mark of the beast without you knowing about it. And all of a sudden you're going to wake up one day with the mark of the beast. All because you ate a bowl of Rice Krispies and they had inoculated it with a virus that changes people's religious DNA. And you live in constant fear. Plus, if you pass that around to everybody, you lied to them. You lied to them. Because it's not true. You lied to them. Now you say, well, it wasn't my story. I just saw it and I just thought it was interesting. I thought other people. You lied to them. The single most important thing in the world that you can tell somebody is not whether Bill Gates wants to vaccinate you or not. That's not the most important thing. The most important thing to ever share with anybody is that they can have their sins forgiven and they don't have to spend eternity in hell. They don't have to. And every time you share fake news that doesn't turn out to be true, the people who you're sending the stuff to, they quit reading your emails a long time ago. Because you send them, they just roll their eyes. And then when you do finally talk to them about, hey, they need to be saved, they're rolling their eyes. Because they're not, you know what you're doing? And for years I often wondered why God said the commandment this particular way. Exodus 20, he didn't just say, thou shalt not lie. What he said was, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Do not send your neighbor a false testimony. Do not send your neighbor a rumor and say, this is really what's going on. And I didn't hear about it on CNN. That proves it's going on. So, and if you're wondering when I'm going to stop saying things like that, I'm not. As long as the internet is on, I'm going to keep saying things like that. Yes, I am rebuking you and indicting myself in that. There were some things that I believed and some things that I hoped for. That as of today, January the 19th, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, have not happened. And every second that rolls by goes the probability that it won't happen. And I've even asked God for it to happen. Nothing would make me happier as far as the politics of this world to see a bunch of lying, cheating, stealing, communist politicians go to prison or receive the death sentence. Nothing would make me happier. Now, short of the president enacting these things within the next 20 hours, I don't think it's going to happen. And if it doesn't happen, I'm content in letting God have His way, because obviously He always does. He always does. Now, I'm going to change. Let's see here. Which one do I want? This one. I'm going to change a little bit. I do want to talk about today. If you have not seen this week's Watchmen video broadcast and that fierce, deadly wasp attack that took place during that, it is now online. It's on sermonaudio.com/Bethel. It is on my official YouTube channel. And by the way, somebody called our ministry the other day, and my daughter took the call, and he was asking... He's got a YouTube channel. He was asking permission if I minded that he took my videos and put them on his YouTube channel. The answer is yes. No, I mean, it's no. I don't mind. Yes, do it. Absolutely do it. Because your reach to people may be different than my reach to people. And people who subscribe to your channel, who don't subscribe to mine, will see the things that God has given us here, see the Word of God, and they might like it. They might get interested in it. Who cares who gets the credit? Who cares who gets the ad revenue? I don't. That's not why I do it. And so, the very first video, when I started making these, in January of 2009, was that I wasn't going to copyright them. And if you want to put them on your YouTube channel, you want to put them on your blog, you want to copy them and make DVDs and give them out to people, do it. Do it, please. In fact, I beg you to do it. I dare you to do it. All right? Let's do this. Let's go to Ephesians. I'm trying to, you know, kind of help our church understand a little bit about what is going on as far as the Bible is concerned. You see, that's what I'm here for. This is what God has told me to do. Is to find out, take a look at what is going on in the world, and find out what God's Word says about it. And some interesting things that deal with Washington, D.C., I believe, are referenced here, Ephesians 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil, meaning he lies. And it doesn't matter if his lies cause you to go to the left wing or his lies cause you go to the right wing. He doesn't care what wing you're on. Because just because you're a conservative doesn't mean you're born again. So he's very wily at what he does. And my personal opinion is that he benefits, Satan benefits, and his kingdom benefits when the right and the left wing have divided and are divided against themselves. Can two walk together except they be agreed? No. Can an eagle fly with just one wing? Not that I'm aware of. Takes both. Okay? So he doesn't, and I think that a lot of right wing news is intended to stir up right wing action. Because then the right wing and the left wing will clash together. Remember the Hegelian dialectic. The idea that synthesis always works, or thesis always works against antithesis. But when you get them to clash together, you have a wholly new outcome called synthesis. It is a new synthetic ideology where the two have merged together. So you have creation on one side, you have evolution on the other. And evolution doesn't believe in God, so it does not believe in intelligent design of the universe. Creation doesn't believe that anything in the universe that was made, made itself. So the two are opposed to each other. And yet, when you try to cross them together and breed them together, you're going to get a different doctrine, a different idea called theistic evolution that tries to combine the two together into a new doctrine. You'd be surprised. You would be amazed at the number of church people who believe in theistic evolution, which is not taught anywhere in the Bible. And so, put on the whole armor of God, you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And this is what I want to talk about today. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, if you just take your Pure Bible Search software, type that phrase in, high places, okay? No, it's not a hill where everybody goes and gets stoned. 1 Kings 3:2, only the people sacrificed in high places. Let's see here. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. He made an house of the high places, the Bible says. Howbeit the high places were not removed. So what were these high places? They were hills or mountains. In some cases, they were artificial mountains. Pyramids, ziggurats. And to me, it blows my mind that in literally in every corner of the world, the ancient pagan practitioners built pyramids of some kind. Whether they were the step pyramids or the smooth pyramids of Giza or the mound builders in North America, the pyramid builders in Central and South America and Mexico, pyramid builders, you got pyramids in Egypt, you've got high places in Africa, you've got the Bosnian pyramids, which I believe are in fact pyramids that have been overgrown. They've got some in China that the Chinese government tried to cover up by planting plants on it. The only problem is all the trees ended up being in a row. So it doesn't look like a natural formation. But it's clearly a pyramid. There's some who claim that there's some in Antarctica. I believe that could be possible. Richard Hoagland and others have said that they can clearly see them on the surface of Mars. Wouldn't that be interesting? But they are artificial high places. And generally, some sort of temple was built there, some sort of religious grotto or whatever it was, often a place of sacrifice, so that, and what it does, it represents man's ascension to meet God who's coming. Man is rising up, God or the gods are coming down, and they're meeting halfway. Now think of our rapture. Think of what 1 Thessalonians 4 said. The Lord shall descend. We are going to ascend and meet Him in the middle, in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So a worship or a sacrifice on a high place is basically that, in with that in mind, only it's geared toward false gods rather than the true God, Jesus Christ. Now I have the picture of David Koresh, tragedy in Waco. What was the name of the compound that they had built out there in Texas? Does anybody know what it was called? It wasn't the Branch Davidian. That was the name of their sect. They were a branch of and an offshoot of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So they already had cult doctrine already. And then David Koresh just added to it. But it was called Mount Carmel. Mount Carmel. To them, it was their city set on a hill. They had built this high place and a tower, and they had their meetings up there. This, of course, is where David Koresh, he had actually forbidden all of the men who were in that compound. They had to remain celibate while they were there. And you know what Koresh said? I have taken on the burden of sex for these men. I don't want to do it, but I have taken their burdens from them and laid them on me. So he was sleeping with the women in that, including underage girls. And I would say probably especially underage girls. Was he practicing spiritual wickedness? Because, as it turns out, I don't know if it was a majority, but many of the children that perished in the Waco fire were Koresh's kids through these various women that he got pregnant in there. That's spiritual wickedness in high places. That qualifies. Okay? By the way, do you know how old he was? 33. See this highway here, 77? You know that highway runs through Waco? If you're going to go from anywhere and go to the Branch Davidian compound, Mount Carmel, more than chances are you're going to get there on Interstate 77. Where does that number come from? A couple places. Number one is what Lamech said. If Cain can be avenged seven times, then Lamech 70 and seven times. The lineage of Christ given to us in Luke chapter 3, 77. So here is Route 77. Let me get a pen here and draw something for you here. If you've ever been to Dealey Plaza, you know this, okay? I want you to notice this layout here. I'm going to try to draw straight lines. And right here. And what we're making is an obelisk, okay? And this is the route that JFK took. They went down Elm Street to Houston Street to get here. The shooter, I think, was up here or possibly up here in a high place. But they were going to get on the Stemmons Freeway, 77. He was just within minutes of going to make another speech. Okay? Dallas. November 22nd, 11:22. That's 33. Oklahoma City. 33 pillars. And Oklahoma is primarily flat. But this is about the tallest point in Oklahoma City, where this building is. I went to school just south of there for 3 years. I know the area. I know the location. I've been there after the bombing. Okay, 33 pillars on that thing. Here is where the building was. Here's that same interstate. 77. There is Timothy McVeigh, white supremacist, among other things. And you remember how old he was when he was executed? In fact, they waited. They stayed his execution. The attorney general, who used to be the governor of the state of Missouri, John Ashcroft, who was supposed to be an Assembly of God man. But you remember they had his execution set for a certain date. And he said, well, new evidence has come in. We need to review it. We need to stay the execution temporarily. Well, they waited until 23 days after his 33rd birthday. Okay, and I'm going to read you something here in a little bit. It might be a little difficult to hear. Okay, and I'm just warning you of that now. This, of course, is the Tower of Babel. What was it they were wanting to do? Let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. Man ascends. The gods descend, meeting them halfway to join together. That was the purpose of it. We're dealing with spiritual wickedness that takes place in high places. This is the European Parliament building. What is it? Strasbourg? That was built specifically to model the Tower of Babel. In other words, and Pastor Cooley sent me this message yesterday. And I love seeing things like this. Let me find it. Here we go. You can get this app on your phone called Babel, and it says that you can choose between 13 different languages. Now, why did they pick that number? Because that's Babylon's number. Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I wrote him back and I said, you know, it brings me great joy to find out just how right our Bible really is. When you see things like that, don't just wave them off as a coincidence. God's Word is absolutely stunning and amazingly accurate. Why did this website, this company, Babel, who teaches you language, to undo the Tower of Babel, right? Why do they teach 13 different languages? Or at least that's what they advertise. Let's see here. This is a high place. This is a picture of a high place. It is the symbol of the New World Order. Notice you have a pyramid. The date, 1776. Well, two possibilities. This America is the New World. That's what it was referred to. Also, May 1st, 1776, Adam Weishaupt, Jesuit priest, formed a group called the Alumbrados, or the Illuminati. The longer title of it is called the Order of the Perfectibilists. Because, see, their plan for the New World Order was for man to achieve perfection. But with the New World Order, man has to do it in steps. He can't just, like us, like when we're saved, are we immediately sanctified? Yes. Is there any rituals we have to perform to get better? Is there anything we have to memorize? Is there a certain amount of money we have to donate? No. When you're saved, you are immediately as much qualified to enter the kingdom of heaven as a person who has been saved 80, 90 years. No stages, no ladders to climb, steps to take, secret code words to use. But eventually, this here represents the spiritual wickedness that he's referring to. And the wickedness, by very nature of Ephesians 6, the wickedness itself is spiritual wickedness. Not necessarily human wickedness. We're talking about Satan's whole kingdom here. And every devil that he has under his dragon wings that can be scooped up by his tail. Literally, his kingdom performing wickedness in a place that is higher than us. How many sides does a pyramid have? Four, technically five, if you count the bottom. Okay? But that all-seeing eye, what it does, it represents the four, the principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places, those things having to work together to bring about, and what's making me think of this is the Watchman broadcast that's out this week. A lot more time could be shared on that, and that's kind of what I'm doing today. It sort of giving you some of the background that goes into why I believe what I believe about the abomination of desolation. Now, and I will say that I'm not the biggest proponent in this world of and the idea that they're going to build a physical brick and mortar temple in Jerusalem and restore animal sacrifices there. I'm not the biggest fan of that idea. Now, I could be wrong. Some of you may think I'm wrong on that. But let me ask you this. God's temple, the one that Moses built, the one that Solomon built, was Solomon's temple ever desecrated? Yeah. Manasseh did it when he set an idol, a carved image, in the house of God. And got him in big trouble. But did the Antichrist come then? No. I was going to say this in the when I recorded the Watchman broadcast. Some say that the abomination of desolation has already occurred. For you see, in 280 BC, I'm just guessing on the date. But in 280 BC, a man by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes went in and he spilled pig's blood in the second temple and desecrated the most holy place. Did the Antichrist show up then? No. Now, was that a bad thing to do? Yeah. But we have to remember that in that holy place, it was empty. There was no Ark of the Covenant in that second temple. The Ark of the Covenant had disappeared. It's gone. Nobody's found it since. The Ethiopians, there's a Coptic church down in Ethiopia, they claim they have it. But when you say, well, can we see it? No, nobody can see it. They haven't let anybody in there see it. So how do we know they have it? Well, we don't. Okay? But my point is, there's been times when the temple, the stone-built temple, has been desecrated. And the Antichrist didn't come. He didn't show up then. There are temples all over the world that have idols in them. Every Catholic church has idols in them, and they're supposed to be holy places. Did the Antichrist show up yet? Was he revealed? Did people have to flee to the mountains? No. So, I don't know. Could be wrong, but I'm just not that convinced that an earthly temple will be rebuilt, and when they set up the image of the beast in it, that's going to be the end of the show right there. And the beast then is going to rule as the boss from that location and tell everybody what to do. Will that work? No, because it's never worked, ever. I mentioned this in The Watchman, Hitler had Germany, but he didn't have all the Germans. He didn't control all of them. He didn't own all of them. They didn't do everything he told them to do. There was great resistance to him. There were several attempts on his life by German people, some of his own military. So just because somebody builds a temple somewhere and puts a statue in it, that doesn't necessarily mean that God is now going to initiate the Great Tribulation. I just don't see that. What I believe is that the Antichrist, the man of sin, literally is going to be in the hearts of all mankind, and they will do everything he tells them to do. They will willingly submit to his authority. That's Adam Weishaupt. Here's Washington, D.C. Designed by Charles L'Enfant, who was an astrologer and a Mason. And we're going to draw a line. Right here is the White House. So we have another street that goes this way. And then we go down this way. And then we go, let's see here. Have I drawn it all? No, I missed one. Right here. And we get to here, right here. That's not the Capitol. But anyway, then we come down this way. And you have your pentagram. Oh, it goes all the way over here. There we go. You have a pentagram in the street layout of Washington, D.C. Right up here, about exactly 13 blocks up from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, which is the White House, you have the House of the Temple Lodge, Washington, D.C. The one that has the step pyramid on top of a Greek temple and so on. Let's see here. I want to move past some of this. Okay. This is the Capitol. I want you to notice up here is a statue. Now, it's not a statue of Washington. It's not Thomas Jefferson. It's not Ben Franklin. It's not Abraham Lincoln. It's not anybody that we would know. It's a goddess. It's a statue of a goddess that is exactly 19 and a half feet tall. Now, what does that have to do with anything? 19 and a half days. In other words, 19 days have expired, and then another half of a day, which would put it, at, if you start at January 1st and go through the 19th day, halfway to the 20th day, the fulfillment and the end of the 20th day, that is the exact time at which we inaugurate a president. Okay? To me, it's interesting. I don't know exactly why, but that's what they do. This statue is called, she's not Liberty. What is she? Freedom. The Freedom Goddess. She's a goddess who is in a high place. Capitol Hill was named after Capitoline Hill, which there was a similar building in Rome during the Roman Empire, where the Roman Senate, where they conducted their business. This was a rebuilding of the capital of ancient Rome, and it was built on a hill. So Capitol Hill is a high place. And the question to ask is there any spiritual wickedness that takes place in that building? Now, we know there's physical wickedness that takes place there. We know that. But whenever you have a house of physical wickedness, you are guaranteed to have a house of spiritual wickedness. Now, in this dome, right up here, domes represent the head, the skull, the top part of the skull. They also represent in the language of architecture, domes represent the dome of heaven. And so if you go inside the Capitol and look up in what they call the rotunda, rotunda means round, a big circle, and you look straight up, right here is the sun, and it's where that statue is. the goddess, freedom. Here, you have George Washington, who has this painting is by Bernini, and it's called The Apotheosis of Washington. What does that mean? The word means that Washington became a god. He rose from a low position. He said, I will ascend into heaven. He sits on a throne bearing a sword. I will exalt my throne above what? Notice here, what are these? Stars. He said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. By the way, do you want to take a guess how many stars there are here? No, it's not 50. There are exactly 72 stars. Now why? If you're going to have stars, wouldn't it be 50? Well, in this case, it's 72. And I believe I know why there's 72. All of the forms of the word seal, S-E-A-L in your Bible, such as seal, seals, sealeth, exactly 72 times in the King James Bible. But let me give you something else that numbers 72 in the Bible. The number of families and tribes that are listed in Genesis 10. You see, I made a mistake years ago. When I wrote, I can't remember which book I put it in, whether it was the King James Code or by divine order. But I had done an initial count in Genesis 10 of the number of families from Noah that are listed by name in Genesis chapter 10. I came up with the number 70. I checked it again. I came up with the number 70. I published the book. Some guy said, Pastor Mike, I hate to tell you this, but you're wrong. There's 72. And I went, no, I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong. Come on. I'm right. So I checked it again. And you know what? I was right. I was wrong. I was wrong. There are 72 different family names and tribes mentioned in Genesis chapter 10. So what does that mean? Let me show you a building, if I have it in here. I may have taken it out. Yeah, I did. The Sistine Chapel, St. Paul's Cathedral, which is eventually where we're going here. Because I'm going to read you about the spiritual wickedness that took place there. There's like 72 pillars in there. Okay? The cenotaph. There is a memorial to John F. Kennedy in Dallas, Texas. It's not at Dealey Plaza. It's before you get to Dealey Plaza. And it's called a cenotaph. A cenotaph, the word cenotaph means empty tomb. Meaning that the person who was there came up out of the grave. He's not there anymore. And this cenotaph, and it was the people of Dallas complained. They said it was the ugliest thing in their whole city. They said whoever designed this was an idiot. It was an embarrassment to them. They never liked it. Because it's four walls with exactly 72 pillars surrounding a bronze square in the ground that says John F. Fitzgerald Kennedy. That's it. Okay? So why 72? Osiris, when he was killed by Seth, 72 men carried his coffin. Think about it. 72 different families on the earth. And they all carry the dead body of a god inside of them. Dun, dun, dun. So here we have Washington, who has exalted himself above the stars. He is surrounded by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 13 women. You say, well, okay, 13 colonies. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking more like mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Remember, we're talking about spiritual wickedness in high places. In the ceremony where a president has been slain, they take his coffin and they set it immediately underneath this image that's up in the dome. Remember, the dome represents heaven. So, and it was intended that George Washington would be buried directly underneath this. There's a floor underneath the main level of the rotunda. If you go to the rotunda and you look straight up, you're going to see this painting up there. If you go down one floor, there's a place there that was intended to be the final resting place of George Washington. They were going to have him entombed there. So do you see the symbolism of it here? George Washington being dead down beneath, below the earth, how he has risen up and ascended above. You know what all of this is here? Clouds. I will ascend above the high heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That is the symbolic nature of this. So with this in mind, do you believe that spiritual wickedness takes place in these high places? Oh yeah. And it always has. It always has. I mentioned to you the house of the Temple Lodge. Here it is. Exactly 13 blocks north from the White House. By the way, this line here is the 77th meridian. 77th. Down here, I don't have a picture of it yet, is the 39th parallel. Let's see, how much time do I have? I better move on. Some of this stuff I've mentioned before. The pentagram is used extensively in black magic, but when so used, its form always differs in one of three ways. The star may be broken at one point by not permitting the converging lines to touch. It may be inverted by having one point come down and two up, or it may be distorted by having the points at varying lengths. When used in black magic, the pentagram is called the sign of the cloven hoof, or the footprint of the devil. The star with two points upward is also called the goat of Mendes. In other words, Baphomet. Because the inverted star is the same shape as the goat's head. When the upright star turns and the upper point falls to the bottom, it signifies the fall of the morning star. Isn't that interesting? That Manly Hall read the NIV. Because Lucifer is not the morning star. Period. That's the great rite invocation where a woman. Now this is spiritual wickedness in high places. This is. A woman sprawled out, her body in the form of a pentagram. Usually a male member of the coven will adorn horns on his head, and they will perform a, guess what, ritual on this pentagram. It's called the Great Rite Ritual. It is high magic, ritualistic magic. It is spiritual wickedness in high places, because not always is it a male member of the coven. I know a guy. He got into the Navy. Got in with some guys who were doing some deep, deep occult stuff. And he told me. He said, Mike, I witnessed this. A woman on the altar. And a devil was summoned. And he said, it looked like eating and burning at the same time. And he said, then there was just nothing left of her. See, I believe that stuff goes on. And by very nature of the phrase spiritual wickedness in high places, you know how we say, you know, hey, you better leave me alone. I got friends in high places. I have absolutely no proof, but I also have absolutely no doubt that things like this take place in Washington, D.C. Do they actually take place in the Capitol building? If it did, would you and I, the average Joe, would we ever know about it? Would it be reporting it? Would it be reported on CNN that Joe Biden participated in something like this? No. But is it possible that amongst the highest people in our country, the most powerful people in our country, how did they get that way? How did they gain and amass all that power? How do you make the fact that you have literal, absolute, no ambiguous proof that election fraud took place and all of the courts shut it down. And just basically they're going to make it go away. Do you not think that spiritual wickedness takes place in high places in this country, in our nation's capital? There's your Pentagon. Do you know how tall it is? Exactly 77 feet tall. Exactly 77 feet tall. Spiritual wickedness in high places. And this is the Washington Monument. And this is an older picture. And I want you to notice that years ago, it used to just have a circle around it. But they redesigned it to put a mandorla there. Mandorla is an Italian word for almond. But what is that really? The female part. What is the obelisk? So do you see that? Do you get it? This is rated PG. Do you get this? This is all on the 39th parallel. It's all on that line. How many books in the Old Testament? 39 represents a law. Okay? Death. That's what this is all about. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Similar to that image. and I won't get much into explaining this, but you can kind of guess what you're looking at. Okay, same with this. This is the Grail Well. Supposedly Joseph of Arimathea had a cup, and he caught Jesus' blood as it spilled out of him while he was being crucified, and took that cup, the Holy Grail, and he went to, I think this is Glastonbury. I may be wrong. I may be thinking of Stonehenge. But he tossed it into this well. And the water that comes out of this well is red. And you notice the symbol that they put there. The chalice. So what is the real cup? Mystery Babylon the Great. The mother of who? Harlots. This is St. Peter's Square. Okay. Let's see here. This is Washington, D.C. Here's the Capitol. Tomorrow, at this spot right here, president's going to be inaugurated. Notice what happens when I highlight the streets. Notice what happens. Okay? It's a pyramid or a triangle. And here's the capstone of it right here where the president's going to be inaugurated. By the way, do you see this? Look at there. And then it goes like this, over and across, like that. Bum, bum, bum. See it now? So, let me give you a math lesson. It's called the Pythagorean Theorem. Let's say that this part of the triangle is line A, and this part of the triangle is line B. So if I take the length of line A and I square it, meaning I times it by itself. So let's say this is 100 feet or 100 yards. And I take the length of line B and I square it. So let's say this is 1,000 yards. So 100 times 1,000 or 100 times itself. Plus 1,000 times itself. And this is line C, and we don't know the length of it. Well, Pythagoras realized in the formula A squared, that's terrible, A squared plus B squared equals C squared. So if you square line A and you square line B and you add them together, then you'll end up with the square of line C. Okay? And that's actually a thing in masonry. Because the A squared represents Osiris, or the heavens. B squared represents Isis, the goddess, or the earth. So what happens when A squared meets B squared in a bar, and they hit it off, and they go to his place? What happens a few months later? C squared. You get it? the heavens and the earth joining together to produce the sum of both of them. Okay? That's pretty wicked. And like I said, this is the Capitol. This is the White House. So after the inauguration takes place, it is customary then for the president to walk this line to the White House. See the C-squared line. Okay? I gotta move on. There's a square and compass there and all of that. It's absolutely amazing. This is the house of the Temple Lodge in Washington, D.C. I've talked about that. This is 33 feet tall. This is another lodge room. I think this is the one. They have two lodge rooms in the house of the Temple Lodge. This one, I believe, is where they conduct some of their voting meetings, where the Masons get together and vote on certain things. I think that's where they do it. Let's see here. Let me get to, yeah, I believe the Sephiroth even is in the street layout of Washington, D.C. This is Lincoln Memorial. Remember, it's got how many pillars? 46. It's a temple, isn't it? It's a temple with a god in it. Spiritual wickedness going on in high places. Jefferson Memorial, the same thing. Anytime you see a dome, what do you have? You have the heavens. Whenever you see columns, these are the columns that hold up the heavens and connect the heavens with the earth. Let's see here. Move past some of this and this. I talked about that. There's George Washington. Oh, he's Baphomet. Look at that. That's interesting. So that looks like that. That is St. Peter's Basilica. Now, I mentioned this in this week's Watchman broadcast. And let me give you a few more details other than what I put in there this week. Okay? I don't know who's calling me, but remember, this and directly under this dome here, directly under this dome is what we call the Baldacchino. And this is where the Pope stands to perform the high mass that they perform inside St. Peter's Basilica. Okay? No higher place in the world, as far as Roman Catholicism, for you to take place in a mass than right here in this building. This building is it for them. Now, here's what's interesting. So, up here is that dome. This canopy here represents, of course, anytime you have a ceiling, it represents heavens. You have the pillars, and these Solomonic pillars are twisted like DNA. Think about it. This would represent the earth and the heavens, and they're joined together by the four. Earth, wind, fire, and water. Now, see this area down here? Do you know what's down there? Allegedly, it's never been proven, but allegedly, the bones of St. Peter, who they refer to as the first pope. And of course, there are satyrs at the base of these pillars, right down in here, in this artwork down here, on the four square base of each one of these pillars. The satyrs shall dance there, Isaiah says. Now, what spirit possessed the guy who designed this to put satyrs inside of this place that they believed was the house of God. What would possess them to do that? Spiritual wickedness in high places. Remember up here, this is the dome directly above this baldacchino where the mass takes place. 32 seven-pointed stars. The beast has seven heads. So the center part gives you the number 33. Just like in the CIA logo, just like in the Jesuit logo, just like in the old Japanese flag where you had the sun and it had 16 red rays and 16 white rays. You have the same thing here. You have 16 inner stars, 16 outer stars, 32 in total, which means that the 33rd one is the one standing directly underneath it, which would be who the Catholics call Holy Father. You see, that in itself makes him a beast because he has the name of blasphemy on him. Now, over a ways from St. Peter's Basilica is St. Paul's Cathedral, St. Paul's Chapel. This is, in other words, the Sistine Chapel. All of this artwork, of course, done by Michelangelo, one of the very gifted Ninja Turtles. And up here, it would be where you have God touching Adam, but God with his arm around the red-headed woman, Shekinah, his consort. You see, it. Just about everything in the occult involves sex of some kind. Almost all of it. Now, it was, and this is where the conclave takes place. When Pope Benedict resigned, they called in the cardinals, and they vote on the next pope. Do you know how many votes they have to have, the minimum number of votes, in order to name a successor to Peter? You know what the number is? 77. Exactly. It blows your mind. So they meet in the conclave. They vote on the next Il Papa. And then once he is crowned, they all swear their allegiance to him. And by the way, this is the papal hall next door to St. Peter's Basilica, which was built as a place, an indoor place, where the Pope could sit or stand and talk to the people. And it was specifically designed to look like the mouth of a serpent. This is where the Pope would sit, right here. Here are the fangs of the serpent. There's his eyes. I mean, who does this? Who in their right mind does this? Spirit, this is spiritual wickedness in high places, people. Now, let me go back to this room. This is the windswept house, Malachi Martin. I'm going to read some of this. and it's a little lengthy, but it's right at the beginning of the book, and the book is sort of not easy to find. I used to have a copy of it not too long after it came out, and I loaned it out to somebody or something like that, and so I ordered another one. This is a used copy I got from Amazon. And in this room, this is what took place. The enthronement of the fallen archangel Lucifer was effected within the Roman Catholic Citadel on June 29, 1963. Satanist tradition had long predicted that the time of the prince would be ushered in at the moment when a pope would take the name of the Apostle Paul. Pope Johnny the 23rd, 23 is the number for death, had just passed, and it was time to name a successor to the line of Peter. So they voted for, I can't remember his real name, but his papal name was Pope Paul. He said that requirement, the signal that the availing time had begun and had been accomplished just 8 days before the election of the latest Peter in the line. There had barely been time since the papal conclave had ended for the complex arrangements to be readied. But the Supreme Tribunal had decided there could be no more perfect date for the enthronement of the prince than this feast day of the twin princes of the citadel, Saints Peter and Paul. And there could be no more perfect place than the chapel of St. Paul itself, situated as it was so near the Apostolic Palace. The complexity of the arrangements were dictated mainly by the nature of the ceremonial event to be enacted. Security was so tight in the grouping of Vatican buildings within this gem of a chapel lay that the full panoply of the ceremonial could not possibly escape detection here. If the aim was to be achieved, if the ascent of the prince was actually to be accomplished in the availing time, then every element of the celebration of the Calvary sacrifice must be turned on its head by the other and opposite celebration. In other words, they're going to do a satanic mass here. The unbloody representation of the sacrifice of the nameless weakling on the cross, that's who they're saying Jesus is, must be replaced by the supreme and bloody violation of the dignity of the nameless one. Guilt must be accepted as innocence. Pain must give joy. Grace, repentance, pardon must all be drowned in an orgy of opposites. And it must all be done without mistakes. The sequence of events, the meaning of the words, the significance of the actions must all comprise the perfect enactment of sacrilege, the ultimate ritual of treachery. The whole delicate affair was placed in the experienced hands of the princes, and he's referring to Satan, trusted guardian in Rome, a master of the elaborate ceremonial of the Roman Church. So much more was this granite-faced, acid-tongued prelate a master of the prince's ceremonial of darkness and fire. The immediate aim of every ceremonial, he knew, is to venerate, quote, the abomination of desolation. They believed that they were performing the abomination of desolation. But the further aim now must be to oppose the nameless weakling in his stronghold. And they're talking about Jesus. To occupy the weakling's citadel during the availing time, to secure the ascent of the prince in the citadel, meaning Satan, as an irresistible force, to supplant the citadel's keeper, to take full possession of the keys entrusted to the keeper of the weakling. Stop right here! Did you hear what he just said? He said that Christ holds the keys, but Lucifer wants them. And so they decided that if they could enthrone Lucifer as prince of the Vatican, that that would give him the keys. Where would we see that? If we were to look in the Bible, where would we see that? Revelation 9. The fifth angel sounded, I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Dun, dun, dun! The Guardian tackled the problem of security head on. Such unobtrusive elements as the pentagram, and they put a pentagram in there, and black candles and the appropriate draperies could be part of the ceremonial in Rome. But other rubrics, the bowl of bones and the ritual den, for example, the sacrificial animals and the victim, would be too much. In other words, they knew they couldn't sneak in a dog and a little girl. So they worked it out with a Catholic church in Charleston, South Carolina. Charleston's on the 33rd parallel. There would have to be a parallel enthronement. A concelebration could be accomplished with the same effect by the brethren in an authorized targeting chapel, provided all the participants in both locations targeted every element of the event on the Roman chapel, then the event in its fullness would be accomplished specifically in the target area. It would be all matter of unanimity of hearts, identity of intention, and perfect synchronization of words and actions between the targeting chapel and the target chapel. The living wills and thinking minds of the participants concentrated on the specific aim of the prince would transcend all distance. For a man as experienced as the Guardian, the choice of targeting chapel was easy. A simple phone call to the United States. Over the years, the prince's adherents in Rome had developed a faultless unanimity of heart and a seamless identity of intention with the Guardian's friend, Leo, which means the lion, bishop of the chapel in South Carolina. Leo was not the man's name, it was his description. The silvery white mane of hair on his large head looked for all the world like a scraggly lion's mane. In the 40 years or so since His Excellency had established his chapel, the number and the social importance of the participants he had attracted, the punctilious blasphemy of his ceremonies, and his frequent and ready cooperation with those who shared his point of view, and shared his point of view and ultimate goals, had so established the superiority of this operation that by now it was widely admired among initiates as the Mother Chapel of the United States. The news that this chapel had been authorized as the targeting chapel for such a great event as the enthronement of the prince within the heart of the Roman citadel itself was supremely gratifying. More to the point, Leo's vast ceremonial knowledge and experience saved a lot of time. There was no need, for example, to test his appreciation of the contradictory principles upon which all worship the archangel is structured. No need to doubt his desire to encompass the ultimate strategy in that battle. The end of the Roman Catholic Church as the papal institution it had been since the nameless weakling had founded it. Let me see here. Leo's roster of participants, men and women, who made their mark in corporate government and social life. And he's talking about here in America. Government, corporate, and socialites were there. Was every bit as impressive as the Guardian had expected, but the victim, His Excellency said, a child, would be truly a prize for the violation of innocence. You understand what they did, don't you? The checklist of rubrics required for the parallel ceremonial centered mainly on the elements that had been ruled out in Rome. Leo's targeting chapel must have its set of vials containing earth, air, fire, and water. That's Wicca. They are performing satanic elemental magic. It must have been the bowl of bones. Check. Remember what Jesus said? That you're nothing more than whited sepulchres full of dead men's bones. The red and black pillars, check. The shield, check. The animals, check. Down the list they went, check, check. A matter of synchronizing the ceremonies in the two chapels was familiar for Leo, as usual. Fascicles of printed sheets, irreligiously called missals, could be prepared for use by the participants in both chapels, and as usual, they would be in flawless Latin. A telephone link would be monitored by a ceremonial messenger at each end, so that the participants would always be able to take up their parts in perfect harmony with their cooperating brethren. Let's see here. If everyone did the needful exactly according to the rule, the prince would at long last consummate his most ancient revenge upon the weakling, the merciless enemy who had paraded through the ages as the most high merciful one for whom the darkness of darkness was light enough to see all. Leo could imagine the rest. The enthronement event would create a perfect covering, opaque and velvet smooth, so to conceal the prince within the official church membership of the Roman citadel. Somebody's in there on the inside. Enthroned in darkness, the prince would be able to foment that same darkness as never before. Friend and foe would be affected alike. Darkness of will would become so profound that it would obscure even the national objective in the citadel's existence, the perpetual adoration of the Nameless One. In time and at last, the goat would expel the lamb and enter into possession of the citadel. The prince would usher himself into possession of a house, the house, that was not his. Think of it, my friend. Bishop Leo was nearly beside himself with anticipation. The unaccomplished will be accomplished. This will be the capstone of my career. The capstone event of the 20th century. Leo was not far wrong. They took the puppy and cut the genitals off of it and drained his blood. And I think if I was reading it right, they used that for their Eucharist. Each person participating ate a piece, drank the blood, and then one after another violated that child on the altar of the Catholic Church in South Carolina. Now, I don't need to tell you those. I mentioned this the other day. I was born in 66. I've seen the world change. I can remember, for those of you older than me, you remember what it was like going into a diner, right? You would have a guy with a white shirt on and a little bow tie and a little cap. He would take your order. Days when you didn't pump your own gas. Gas was pumped for you at a filling station. You could walk into practically any building in America, put a quarter in a machine and pull a lever and a pack of cigarettes would come out. Remember those days? Do a little research on TV shows that people watched, let's say, in 1959, 1960. Make a list of the top primetime TV shows that people would be watching before 1963. You have like Perry Mason, a lot of the Western shows, Wagon Train, Gunsmoke, I think. Innocence. Shows that were innocent. And then, after 63. Because after 63, now you have shows like Bewitched, The Munsters, The Addams Family, what else do you have? There's a change. And then by 67, 68, 69, shows like All in the Family, Norman Lear, literally changing and making the whole purpose of All in the Family. Norman Lear said it, says, I want to screw this country's head around. He promoted communism, transsodomy, transgenderism. There wasn't a single topic that he wouldn't promote on that show. Making Archie Bunker, the guy that was actually right about 90% of the things that they dealt with on that show, making him to be the idiot and everybody else to be right. Take the music that was listened to in 1959, and then go forward 10 years to Woodstock and look at the comparison between the two. Look at our public school system. In 1959, the number one problems that teachers had in school with children were showing up late for class, gum chewing, and shirts being untucked, things like that. 1969. The biggest problems that just 10 years. If you go back another 10 years from 49 to 59, you don't have a significant change in what's going on. That was my dad's generation. One of my dad's favorite song was the Statler Brothers, the Class of 57, because that was his time period. He graduated 59. And between 49 and 59, you don't have a big change. But from 59 to 69, the world now, America has become unrecognizable. Just in 10 years' time, starting with 1963. A lot of things happened that year, and I don't have time to get into it. But you understand now. There is spiritual wickedness in high places. It's taken place. It's taken place in the Vatican. It's taken place in Jerusalem. It's taken place in Beijing, Paris, Berlin, Rome, London, Washington, D.C. That Bible's right. That Bible is right in everything it says, people. There is much spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's what we're wrestling against. Don't get caught up in it. Because I'm telling you, let me put another picture on the screen for you. Let me go back to this. You see these men here? See that? The vast majority of those men, according to Malachi Martin, are avowed Satanists. The vast majority. Those are the men who are the leading witchcraft, satanic, sodomite, Freemason leaders of the Vatican. Those men. And it's no wonder the things we see going on right now. Appreciate you being with me today. Appreciate you forbearing with me. Thanks for letting me be a little late. Good to be with you. Watchman Video Broadcast is out this week. The Abomination of Desolation. You just heard just a glimpse of part of what took place 1963 in the Vatican. I wonder now what's happened since then. And I guarantee you it's far worse than that. I encourage you today not only to think Bible, but rely on it.